Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Coming up at 12:30 today, we'll talk about ancient wisdom for modern life with businesswoman, philanthropist, and spiritual coach and author Bob Schmidt. We'll also hear a conversation I had earlier with Dr. Daniel Amen. You've probably seen him on PBS, where he's done several specials on the brain. And last week, Dr. Amen was on the Dr. Oz show measuring the impact of smoking e-cigarettes or vapes on Dr. Oz's brain. But we're not going to talk about that today. We'll be looking at the female brain and how we can unleash its power. So that's all coming up in this hour. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, I'll introduce you to Dr. Daniel Amen. Please do stay with us.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
OMG! Grammar abuses, no, LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN!
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, the Washington Post calls Dr. Daniel Amen, by almost any measure, the most popular psychiatrist in America. I think some of his colleagues would disagree with that, and you'll find out why when you listen to our conversation. But Dr. Amen believes that brain scans can be the first step to curing many mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, and a host of other ailments. As you might imagine, some of his peers do disagree with that. And we do address that, as I said, in our conversation. But he stands firm in his findings, and many scientists agree with him, saying that brain imaging work is gaining ground every day on the latest in the latest neuroscience. Dr. Daniel G. Amen is a clinical neuroscientist. He's a physician, double board certified psychiatrist, and brain imaging expert. He heads the world-renowned Amen Clinics, has published over 30 books, including 8 New York Times bestsellers, Use Your Brain to Change Your Age, and Use Your Brain to Change Your Life. And the book that we're talking about in this particular segment is called Unleash the Power of the Female Brain. And we're going to bring that to you right now.
I read that you said now more than ever we need thoughtful, intelligent, powerful, brain smart women to guide and redirect our families. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, what we discovered is that it really is females who change their environment. If the mother gets healthy, the kids tend to be healthier, the husband tends to be healthier. If mom is not healthy, things are not as well at home. We did a very large health program at one of the largest churches in the world, Saddleback Church, and what we found was that 85% of the people who signed up for the program were women, and when they got healthy, it just influenced everyone in their life, and it seems in the last 20 years, male longevity has gone up 5 years. female longevity has only gone up 2.5, that women are sicker now than they've ever been, obesity, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, and it's because of our lifestyle. So I wrote this book, Unleash the Power of the Female Brain, specifically to optimize a woman's brain and her life so that she would be the leader in changing our society.
Right. And you are surrounded by women. I was like staggered the amount of women you have just in your family. You say your mother is the most powerful woman that you know. How has that influenced your work?
Well, my mother's very powerful. She's the mother of 7 children, was a champion golfer for decades. And if I just took her on a trip. So I said, what do you want for your 80th birthday? I was going to Hong Kong to speak. She said, well, I want to take you with me. And I'm like, okay. And while we were there, by herself for 3 days, she took a trip to Manila to go visit one of her friends in the Philippines. And I'm just like totally blown away by this. But not only do I have a powerful mother, I have five highly successful sisters, 3 daughters, 2 granddaughters, and 14 nieces. There is estrogen everywhere I look.
I loved in the book you start after you shared, I think on the website actually, that you and your brother actually ran away for a little while when one of your baby sisters came home from the hospital.
Well, we warned my mother ahead of time. We said, you bring home another girl, we're leaving. And she did. She brought home my 5th sister, Joanne, and my older brother, Jimmy, and I ran away. Now, it was only for 45 minutes because my mom's a great cook. I have been tortured by this issue. But, you know, what really, another thing that really prompted me to write this book was we finished a study on 46,000 brain scans. So at the Amen Clinics, we do brain SPECT imaging that looks at blood flow and activity, looks at how your brain works. And the differences between the male and female brain were just striking. And most people don't know that. You know, they go, well, maybe there's a difference. There's an incredibly significant difference. And it helps understand some of the strengths and vulnerabilities of the female brain.
Right. So let's talk about some of those differences and why they're so significant. One of the things that struck me, you know, we're told all the time, stop worrying. You said, you know, a little appropriate worry is okay. It's probably better for you than no worry at all.
Right. You know, it's been discovered that the don't worry, be happy people, more often men on motorcycles, die earlier than everybody else of accidents and preventable illnesses. So having a little worry is very important. Now, what we discovered in our imaging study was that females have highly significant more activity in their prefrontal cortex, so that's the front third of their brain, and in their emotional brain. Now, the prefrontal cortex is involved with things like judgment, impulse control, organization, planning, forethought, learning from the mistakes that you make. And it gives females some very special strengths like empathy, intuition, collaboration, self-control, and what you talked about, a little bit of worry, because a little bit of worry keeps you on track. Unfortunately, this increased activity also makes women more vulnerable to anxiety, depression, which they have twice as much as men, insomnia, eating disorders, and pain. And so understanding the strengths, women should be in much more leadership positions because, you know, we actually call the front part of the brain the executive part of the brain. It's called the CEO of the brain, and women often make great CEOs because of empathy, intuition, collaboration, self-control, and the ability to worry in an appropriate way where they see the future with some anxiety. It's very important for a leader to do. So it's to optimize their strengths and to work on their vulnerabilities. In the book, there's a whole chapter on depression.
Right.
There's a whole chapter on feeding the female brain, another one on hormones for the female brain. So getting their brain optimized allows them to be the best they can be, because I just just know they are the lever person in the family. They actually pull the lever for health for a lot of other people.
Right. So let's look a little at how we do start to unleash the power of the brain. And the first thing you say we have to do is fall in love with our brain. Not the sexiest organ, not something you think about falling in love with, but obviously very important based on the work that you do.
Well, I think it's the sexiest organ because it sees, you know, 50% of it's dedicated to vision. And it feels and it loves and it drives you with passion. When your brain works right, you work right. But you're right, nobody cares about their brain. You know, we care more about our bellies and our butts than we do our brain, which is really crazy when you think about it, because your brain controls everything. So step number one is develop brain envy. You have to care about your brain. And when you care about it, then getting well is not something you should do. It's something you want to do, even something you have to do. You know, I like to say, if you had a $1 million racehorse, would you ever feed it junk food? Of course not, only if you were stupid. But, you know, you are worth so much more. But yet, you know, you really don't give a second thought about putting it under too much stress, giving it sleep deprivation or terrible food. And love is important. And then after love comes, you have to avoid things that hurt it. I mean, that sort of makes sense, right? Drugs, alcohol, brain injuries. But there are a lot of things that hurt the brain that most people have no clue about. For example, if you have a high blood sugar level, it shrinks your brain. If you have high blood pressure, it shrinks your brain. If you don't sleep 7 hours at night, you have lower overall blood flow to the brain. If you're overweight, there are 100 studies now that say as your weight goes up, the size of your brain goes down. So, you know, once you fall in love with it, then you learn, okay, well, these things hurt it. And then the last thing is, well, what do you do to help it? So a great diet, that's why there's a whole chapter on feeding the female brain. There's even a section in there on how to eat to control your mood and your focus and anxiety level. So certain foods have certain benefits for brain function.
Now, if people follow your advice in the book, you just mentioned that certain conditions can shrink the brain, such as high blood sugar, high blood pressure. Is that repairable?
Well, that's the most exciting thing to talk about, is you can make your brain better, and I can prove it. Actually, at the Amen Clinics, we have 6 clinics around the country, one actually in Bellevue. We performed the world's largest study on active and retired NFL players. And what we discovered was they almost all had brain damage from multiple concussions. You can't get to the NFL without having hit your head thousands of times. But we took those damaged brains and rehabilitated them, and 80% of the time we could demonstrate significant improvement, blood flow, and cognitive function. You are not stuck with the brain you have. You can make it better, but you have to be serious about it. You know, so many people want, you know, give me the quick fix. And it's like, no, you have to fall in love, and then you have to act in a consistent way over time.
Right. You talk about natural treatments that we can use to overcome some typical female brain vulnerabilities, such as depression, perfectionism, eating disorders, anxiety. What would they be? Give me a couple of examples.
Well, so for example, if you're a worrier, if you can't let things go, if you get the same thought in your head over and over again, and you tend to be anxious and depressed, well, it's usually due to low levels of serotonin. And you can raise it naturally with exercise, smart carbohydrates, and certain supplements like 5-HTP, inositol, saffron, which is so interesting. And it's like they're natural. They tend not to have any side effects. But you want to get it targeted to your brain type. So in the book, I actually tell people where they can go on our site to take a test to figure out, well, what would my brain look like? What kind of type of brain would I have so that I can target the treatment specifically to my issues as opposed to, well, I'm depressed.
Right. And you share 12 one-hour exercises to put these brain-healthy principles into our life. Would you give us one of those exercises?
Well, you know, one of my favorite ones warns me immediately why I need to make a good decision. So the cookies that, you know, if you go to a hotel room and they give you cookies, immediately just throw them away. I mean, why would you give them to the homeless person and hurt the homeless person? But, you know, immediately you just throw them away because I'm thinking, are the cookies more important than my brain health? Because if my brain is right, then Emmy is likely to be so much better. Does that make sense?
Right, right. And in the last chapter of the book, Dr. Amon, you talk a lot about it's not just about us, it's about the next generation and the generation after that. Talk about that a little, if you would.
Well, it's actually very frightening when you understand the research. There's a new version of genetics that has just grown up over the last 10 years called epigenetics. And what that means is that my behavior changes my genes and actually changes my children's vulnerability. So, you know, it's like, this is America. I can eat anything I want. It's a free country. And it's like, but it's not just about you. It really is about generations of you. And we know, for example, that boys who smoke between the ages of 10 and 12 just increase their children's risk of being obese. Mothers who have a bad diet, even before they're pregnant, tend to raise children that have a higher incidence of diabetes, obesity, hypertension. So getting yourself well is a sign of love, but love not just for you, but for generations of you.
Right. Exciting times for neuroscientists because there are all these, it's a constant state of discovery, but there are critics out there who, especially on the psychiatric side of things, who say, you know, maybe brain imaging isn't everything and we still need to have a balance. What are your viewpoints on that?
Well, you know, psychiatry remains the only medical specialty that never looks at the organ they treat. I've been after my colleagues for 20 years. It's like, stop that. We have technology today that can be helpful. Now, it's not the answer. It's part of the answer. But we make psychiatric diagnoses today like they did in 1840 when Lincoln was depressed. They talked to him, looked at him, and then prescribed treatment. Exactly what happens in the Northwest today. You can try and kill yourself in Seattle, and virtually no one outside of the Amon Clinic in Belleville will look at your brain. That's wrong. And it's going to change. I mean, 50 years from now, the argument we're having, should you use brain imaging or not, is going to completely go away because they're totally going to do it in the future. And, you know, even powerful academic centers are going, brain imaging is the future. Of course it is. How do you know unless you look?
Right. Well, the book is called Unleash the Power of the Female Brain. Very interesting stuff in there. If people heard nothing else today, Dr. Amon, what do you want them to take away with them?
Your brain matters. You can make it better. I can prove it. And this book will be your roadmap to do it.
All right. I thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And that was Dr. Daniel G. Amon. You can find out more about him at amonclinics.com. In fact, he has one right here in Belleville, I think he mentioned. amonclinics.com and unleashthefemalebrain.com. Interesting work that he's doing. And, you know, the book itself offers a step-by-step program specifically for women, obviously, to help them thrive. It's based on the largest gender study ever done on the brain. And it's culled from his many, many years of research, thousands and thousands of patients. And in the book, it does identify at least five strengths that are specific to the female brain. And it also warns of the potential dark side of the female brain. My producer's nodding his head here. What is going on there?
We all have our dark sides, right? Not just females. I'm not, not casting dispersions. I'm just agreeing with what you're saying.
What happened this weekend, Eric?
Nothing. It was a good weekend.
It's true. It's true. We all have our dark side, and some darker than others. But that is what, I guess, makes life interesting. So anyway, one of the things that struck me in there was his comment about the fact that psychiatrists don't look at the brain. And I remember when my mom got diagnosed with Parkinson's disease some 20 plus years ago now, but I asked them, so are you scanning the brain? Are you imaging it somehow? I mean, because it wasn't done very often back then. And they said, no, we've just based her medication on basically trial and error. We'll see if this works, and if this doesn't work, we'll up this dose a bit more, and we'll cut down on this dose a bit more. So, you know, I hope that that imaging does offer the help that scientists believe it will and does. And talking of the brain and talking of Parkinson's disease, I wanted to let those of you up here in the Northwest know. In fact, everybody across America know about this now because they actually are doing a live stream this year. I believe it's the first time they're doing a live stream. It's the HOPE Conference. It's the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation. You can find out more at nwpf.org, nwpf.org. And the HOPE Conference, I've been to it a couple of times. I went to it when my mother was alive, and it's very, very helpful. They bring together doctors and specialists and scientists who specialize in Parkinson's disease. And, of course, caregivers go and people with Parkinson's go. So it's a very community-oriented event. But as I said, they're streaming it across America live this year. So if you can't get there in person, you can tune into the live stream, and you can find out more at parkinsonshope.org, parkinsonshope.org. And it's coming up this weekend, Saturday, September 26th. It's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for those of you who are up here in the Seattle area. They'll offer information on medications, treatments, diet, mindfulness, end-of-life issues, and movement for patients and their families. And new to the HOPE Conference this year are internationally renowned speakers, including Tom Isaacs, Dr. Daniel Weintraub, and Paul Fruman, I think. Butchered that name there. Sorry about that. So again, you can find out more at parkinsonshope.org. And also coming up next week, beginning the 27th of September through the 3rd of October, is Banned Books Week. And we hope you're going to do some celebrating around that. There's a lot going on at various libraries and booksellers. You can find out more by contacting your local community booksellers and libraries. And our next guest is waiting for us, Barb Schmidt, on the phone. We're going to talk about her new book called The Practice, Simple Tools for Managing Stress, Finding Inner Peace, and Uncovering Happiness. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Let's see. I guess that... this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. become a PAWS foster care volunteer. For more information, visit PAWS.org or 425-787-2500. PAWS.org or 425-787-2500.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun. Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Celebrate the freedom to read with Banned Books Week, September 27th through October 3rd. Find out more information at the American Library Association.org, ALA.org, and BannedBooksWeek.org.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. I am so pleased to have Barb Schmidt on the line with us right now. She's a businesswoman, philanthropist, and spiritual coach with over 30 years devoted to spiritual development. She's studied with many notable teachers, such as Deepak Chopra, Tenzin Palomo, and James Finley, and Marianne Williamson. And her new book is called The Practice, Simple Tools for Managing Stress, Finding Inner Peace, and Uncovering Happiness. Barb Schmidt, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I think I had too much caffeine this morning on the freeway when I was driving up here. I hope I have days like that.
This is a hard name to get. It's difficult.
So this is a lovely little book, and I say little book because it's small in size, and it's the kind of book you can pick up and just read a chapter of or a couple of pages of at any time. But before we get into this, I want to just share a little of your background, because September is National Recovery Month, and I know you've been doing some work with that. Your own path of self-discovery, if you will, began many years ago as a part of your recovery from bulimia. And I read that you grew up eldest of five kids, Catholic family, as your parents struggled with many challenges, including alcoholism. You felt responsible from very early on, strove for perfectionism in everything you do, which so many people do, and you believed this would make you happy and that your life would be perfect. So tell us how that belief and the struggle to be perfect shaped your life.
I did. Well, you set this up so beautifully. Both of my parents were alcoholics, so I did have this, you know, everything was so dysfunctional. I never knew which end was up, so when I would watch TV, so this is way back, you know, in the 60s and 70s, I used to think, if I just had what those people had, if I just could get this external stuff going for me, then my life would be okay. I didn't know what that I had done wrong to have a life that was so chaotic and so unstable. But I really thought if everything in the external world was okay, then I would be okay. Then I would be happy and I would make it. So I really strove hard to accomplish and to do. So as a sophomore in high school, I started working at McDonald's when I was 14 years old, and I loved it. They loved me, and being a perfectionist and being a hard worker, I became their top worker in a matter of months, and they just kept giving me more to do, giving me more increases in salary, and so I just kept working, and so much so that by the time I graduated from high school, they asked me, instead of going to college, we didn't have any money anyway, they said, would you like to be a manager? Now here I am, not even 17 years old, would you like to manage a store? So I said yes, and back then, if you were good and McDonald's, you know, loved you and kept with you, they would finance a restaurant for you, and you could own your own store for 3 years while they financed it. So that's what happened for me. Before the age of 21, I ended up owning my own McDonald's restaurant. So it's pretty amazing. And then I had oh my gosh, everything. I had my own store and started to have money, had a house, I got married. I literally felt like I had all these awards. I was constantly being flown around the country to be given awards because I was that good, and that's what I thought I needed to do in order to continue to keep making it. Well, in the midst of all of this, when you're so focused externally and you're letting the inside go because I didn't think that I mattered, I developed an eating disorder of bulimia. Someone in the restaurant had told me I looked like I had gained weight, and I was devastated. This perfect person trying to do everything right couldn't possibly not look good at the same time. So I developed an eating disorder of bulimia. And one morning in 1984, I woke up and couldn't go to work. I'd been bulimic for 6.5, almost 7 years, and was really incapable of getting out of bed. I just felt totally desperate, and my physical body was worn out. And I opened the newspaper in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where I was living at the time, and there was an ad for a treatment center. And I told my husband at the time, I'm going to check myself into treatment, and I did for 6 weeks, and it changed my life.
Yeah, a very major turning point for you, and we all have these turning points, regardless of whether they're triggered through divorce or death, or as in your case, you know, something as simple as reading an article that put that light bulb on for you. You say that after that you spent 10 years following one particular teacher. You thought this spiritual teacher was the answer for you, but after those 10 years you began to question it. You felt stifled and your inner self said time to move on. Another big turning point for you.
Oh, beautiful, Vicki, yes. You know, I left treatment with that 11th step of AA, thought through prayer and meditation, to deepen my conscious contact with God, as I understand him or her, whatever that is, was for me at the time. And what it meant was I needed to have a connection deep within with God of my understanding, and I was going to do that through studying and practicing with all these great teachers that you mentioned, Thich Nhat Hanh, Deepak Chopra. And being a child of an alcoholic and being an addict myself, you have this little piece of you that still feels sometimes like, well, I need something in the external world to fix me. So I landed with another teacher thinking this was, you know, this is where I needed to be. I needed someone to tell me what to do. So it was a beautiful experience for 10 years, but all of a sudden, one day in my meditation, I thought, I had the university wanting me to start teaching classes on meditation, and this was back in 2005. And I thought, you know what, you're meant to, I was reading Swami Vivekananda, I was studying all the different religions all through this lifetime, and he said, we're meant to become our own teachers, go into your own soul and find your own message and find your own work. And so that, you're right, was another incredible turning point for me where I started continuing to practice and continuing to study with all of these teachers, but now going out and teaching myself,
right,
going out and helping other people and doing workshops and lectures and starting to teach myself.
And I want to ask you about this because I think this is a point where many people get stuck. So many people get stuck, whether regardless of what it is they're a student of, and regardless of whatever it is they're searching for, they get stuck in that student role. And at some point, you know, if you're studying well, you know, it's your turn to become the teacher. And yes, you continue your studying as a teacher. You grow through teaching. How did you know and how did you feel you were ready for that?
The voice came to me just similar to the way it came to me in 1984 when it said, you must go get help, seek treatment. The voice came to me in meditation. You're ready. When the university was asking me to do this, I was a little hesitant. I thought, am I really ready? Can I really do this? And the voice in meditation said, not only are you ready, you have to. Because I was a huge, and I am a huge Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Thich Nhat Hanh, all of these great teachers, all of Nelson Mandela, these people that did the same work that we're all trying to do. You go inside and you really become that person that you desire and really strongly want to be. And then you go out and help others. You go out one person at a time, giving your message, spreading your message. In my case, it's peace, finding that peace within so that ultimately we'll have peace in the outer world. And I just knew, I came out of that meditation saying, yes, I have to do this. I want to do this.
Mm. So let's look at how you define peace. You just mentioned peace, because this is what you're all about. Yes, definitely. But how do you define peace? Because, you know, you look at various teachers. Carl Jung, for example, you talk about him in the book. Your vision will become clear when you look into your heart, he says. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens. What does peace mean for you?
Well, first I'd like to say what a beautiful, there are no coincidences, that today is the International UN Peace Day. So I feel honored to be speaking on the International UN Peace Day because I am all about peace. And for me, it means strength, confidence, love, compassion, all of those things. I noticed when I was younger and I was struggling to try to find myself, even though I had all this external things and goodness, I noticed that because I didn't like myself and because I didn't feel good about myself, I always felt in competition with everybody around me. I felt like I needed to have what they had and then I was going to be happy. So what I've discovered as a result of this practice for over 30 years, when I'm whole, when I'm feeling that I'm whole, because I already am, I just don't know it, I didn't know it at the time. When I'm whole, when I'm feeling good about myself, I'm no longer wanting to be in competition with you because I already feel complete and whole.
Right.
So for me, what I've discovered after all of these years of studying and practicing myself is that it has to start with me. I have to start loving myself, finding that inner peace, that strength, that security, that confidence that I am a great human being, that I am worthy, that I do matter, and that I am already complete. And when I meet people in my life, they don't complete me. It is an interconnected life that I have with them that nourishes and enriches my life, but it doesn't complete me. So for me, this idea of inner peace through outer peace, outer peace through inner peace, outer peace in the world, outer peace in our lives, in our workplace, in our communities, in our families, will begin when I already recognize that I'm whole and have this sense of strength and inner peace.
Mm. That's a great line that I love. It's one of my favorite movies called The Hours with Nicole Kidman and Meryl Streep, Julianne Moore. And Nicole Kidman, of course, plays Virginia Woolf, and she's obviously very troubled. And she says to her husband about herself, you cannot find peace by avoiding life, because he's trying to keep her cloistered away from life so that she can find peace. And she knows she's not going to find it. And it's so true, because it isn't the absence of conflict or troubles or difficulties, is it? It's how you deal with them.
Yeah. And that was Scott Peck when I first read that book when I got out of treatment, The Road Less Traveled. First sentence is, life is difficult. And so it is. And we can't change that life is difficult, but just what you said, we can learn how to act in the face of all of the things that are happening around us. And I believe for me it's been, I can act in my greatest and highest potential and act for my highest ideal when I'm feeling strong and confident and connected with myself and loving for myself. I then can extend that love and compassion and strength to everyone around me.
And you just wrote a blog post on that M. Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled. You talk about when you went into treatment and yes, life is difficult. And you write, fantastic, he's going to tell me how to fix that, to take away life's difficulties. And then you go on to talk about learning to sit with yourself. So talk to us a little about that, if you would.
Yes, that's so funny because at that point in my life, I was looking for someone to fix me. What am I doing wrong so that I need to get this fixed? And it's really the other way around. There's nothing to fix. We already are complete. So when I went into treatment, the last thing I wanted to do was sit in silence with myself, but there were no televisions, no phones, no nothing. We were really alone with ourselves at night. And this I did my TED Talk on this idea of the power of sitting with yourself. Little by little, we're running away and we're moving so fast in our lives today, we're really not connecting with our own source of strength and power and love within. So little by little, I'm teaching, you don't have to sit for 20 minutes, a half an hour, an hour. Just every morning, sit with yourself to start getting connected. And what happens is you start learning how to be instead of always doing. And mm-hmm. So I've developed a beautiful rhythm in my life where I can be with me in silence, be with my breath, be with the crazy thoughts that are going through my mind at times. But I can be with those, and then I can go do in my life. And when I have to come back to that silence during the day when things are starting to feel stressful, I can come back to that moment in the morning where I was sitting with myself and just being. It's powerful. There's nothing more powerful than knowing that you can be with yourself, and that not only is everything okay and all is well, but you actually feel powerful. You feel amazing. I can just sit here and be and let the rest of the world go on around me for a few minutes, for 5 minutes, whatever it is. So I teach people to connect with you first, get that connection inside first before you go connect with everyone else in your life during the day.
Yeah, it's so important. I actually had one whole day this week where I was totally alone. I spent the whole day alone with my dog, but he knows how to meditate too. But I unplugged from technology. I did not listen to the radio or television or music or anything. We just went to the beach, and I can't even tell you, all that stress just falls away. It's so worth it.
So beautiful, Vicki. We are sisters. My dog meditates with me. I've got a little Maltese, and people say to me all the time, she's 8 years old, even when she was a puppy, they would say, why is your little dog not a yappy little dog? She's so calm and quiet.
There you go. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to take a look at the book in some detail here. Bob's book, The Practice, creates a three-part framework work around which to live our lives: waking up, living present, and letting go. And I especially want to look at that letting go, because it seems something that a lot of people have trouble with, Bob. So we'll take a quick break. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
This is Martha Norwalk, every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. Thanks in part to best practitioner Dr. Nels Rasmussen, we cover the world of animals. This week, September 27th, it's an encore presentation of Animal World. Tune in to hear the latest Vet Sunday with Dr. Doug Yearout from All Animal Alternative Medicine Clinic in Marysville. Dr. Doug's my favorite holistic vet, treats pretty much anything in an animal suit, and gives great advice. Get to know him here on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you heal and stay healthy.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, the tenement halls, whispering. Silent.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My special guest in this segment is Bob Schmidt. She's the founder of Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life. She's the author of The Practice, Simple Tools for Managing Stress, Finding Inner Peace, and Uncovering Happiness. And she's studied over 30 years with some of the great leaders, from Deepak Chopra to Thich Nhat Hanh. And The Practice is a result of all of these years of study, correct, Barbara? Bob?
That is correct, after 31 years of study.
And so how would you describe, the book is described as ancient wisdom for modern life, ancient wisdom for modern life. How would you describe it in your own words?
So one of the things that, as I left treatment and went on this, this path of studying with all these great teachers, I've been on over 100 retreats, I became really attuned to and interested in taking what these ancient saints or masters or teachers were writing about, and then how do I apply that into my daily life? What are they actually saying to us? You know, we talked about Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled, or when the Buddha says, you know, come into your own self, it's your mind that's your greatest problem. What does that mean? My mind is my greatest problem. So as I kept studying this and interpreting this and how to use this in my daily life, I began to realize that these are wise, great teachers, past and present, that we have in our midst. How do we start to be able to practice what it is that they're teaching us? So it started that way. So it really is ancient. I'm not really teaching anything new. Nothing that's in any spiritual book or any self-help or taught book is new. It's just how can we learn to actually find our practice and practice it? That was my whole goal. How can I write something that's a guide, a recipe book? You're not meant to follow it word by word and you have to do it this way. There's no other way to do it. It's meant to be a guide. How can I start to step on the path, find a practice that works for me, get connected to myself, and really live that life that I truly want to live, knowing that I matter, knowing that I can make a difference? So it's really a three-part daily guide, and it was important for me to also practice, because I did this myself. How can I meditate in the morning, sit with myself in the morning, and then many times I'd get out of my meditation and the rest of the day was starting to fall apart, and then what do I do? Or my meditation practice and my reading and my disciplines were separate from my ordinary life or the things that I was doing at work or with my family. So as important as I practiced this all these years, how do you weave it all together? How does our spiritual path and all of the meditation and the things that we do that are mindful acts, how does it really become our everyday ordinary life?
Right.
And that's what practice is. It's just that guide to help you along your life path to find your way.
And so let's look at a couple of steps from each of the steps. Number one, waking up. And I should say, at the end of each chapter, you have key takeaways for people to carry with them throughout the day. Takeaway seeds, you call them, which I like. I always like when books summarize those at the end. But what do you have to say about waking up?
Well, waking up, I think it matters so much. It has for me and the people that I've been teaching for years. It matters how you start your day. How do I set the tone for my day? So if I wake up hitting the ground running, feeling stressed, feeling like I'm already behind because I'm running late or I have to get to my appointment or have to get to my coworkers, we're already starting the day stressed. So I'm saying first thing when you wake up, sit with yourself. Be with you first. Connect with you first. Even if it's only for a few minutes, take some breaths, not paying attention to the thoughts in the mind, not paying attention to what you have to do. It's all going to be waiting for you there. Really setting the tone of your own strength, your own power, your own connectedness to yourself. Then get out into your day. And you'll find if you do this every day, it's dose related. You can't do 30 minutes in one day and think that it's going to help you for the whole month, just like a vitamin. We wouldn't take 30 days of
right.
vitamins
right.
thinking, okay, I'm set for the month. So it's dose-related, really, and science has proven this. Harvard did a study that if you do a little bit every single day, it's cumulative. And I have found this as a practice for myself. So every day, a little bit, start that practice of sitting with yourself, and you'll see then I carry that throughout the day. So the waking up, disconnecting to yourself is so much more powerful if you've never done it before than you could even imagine.
Right, right. And what about living present? I mean, we've talked about this many times on our show about living in the moment and being mindful and being aware. It is a practice. I mean, it is a practice.
It's so much a practice, and it's very mechanical at first. I talk about sacred mantra repetition, affirmation repetition, doing one thing at a time, not in every aspect of our lives. We can't be perfect, but we can find little areas that we can start to practice. You and I with this amazing audience that you have and this great show. We're right here right now. We're not reading. We're not listening to anything else. We're totally focused on each other. And we can do that in our lives, in our work, when we're with our coworkers, when we're with our daughter, our son, our husband, wife, partner. Finding little ways in your life when you're eating, just eat instead of reading the newspaper and eating. You start to notice, and that's what being mindful is, noticing, paying mm-hmm. attention, being present, being all in. I say a lot in my workshops, if it's not worth being all there for, don't do it.
Right, because so many people get caught up in that. When they're with their kids, they're thinking about work, and when they're at work, they're thinking about their kids. You know, be in one place and give that place your attention.
So you think about the energy that you're saving, first of all. I find myself so having so much more energy just from having a meditation practice and being as one-pointed as I can, not perfectly, wherever I can in my life. And if I notice I'm off track, I'm stressed, my mind is going in a thousand different directions, I use my breath, I use the mantra, affirmation, I use some form of practice to bring me back to the moment. I always say we don't give ourselves permission to stop.
Right.
So if I'm feeling stressed, I give myself permission, I stop, take a few deep breaths, bring myself back to the moment, and then I start again.
And on letting go, you say if it were a simple process, we would never hold grudges. And I think this is something that so many people have issues with bosses or lovers or friends or family members. Give us a couple of tips about letting go.
Well, it's hard. I do not deny that one bit. Letting go is hard. And the biggest tip that I can give you is just have the intention to let go. The mind is powerful. You know, peaceful mind, peaceful life. Everything is about the mind. The mind is cultivating our mind to be our worthy travel companion on this path of life because we can't escape ourselves. We can never escape from ourselves. So how can we make the mind a friend, really? So that idea of having the intention to let things go, I desire to let this go, is powerful. And then the other tip is actually practicing it. So I put that at the end of the day. We can practice it all day long whenever something happens. But if we actually use it as a practice every single night before we go to bed, nighttime signals peace, signals time to go to sleep, signals the day is over. We can't do anything about what's happening in the day. So the letting go at the end of the day is powerful. Set the intention to let go. Review your day, good, bad, or indifferent, with no attachment, with no judgment on yourself, and setting the intention that when you're all finished with the news or the television or the TV or the newspaper or the phone, really putting it all away, paying attention to your breath, just like you did in the morning when you woke up and sat with yourself, paying attention to your breath, having the intention to let everything go, going into sleep with an empty mind, with a peaceful heart. It's hard, but it's a practice.
And the Dalai Lama says... I've heard him say many times, we're meant to be happy. And you talk about this in the book. And fortunately, we've only got about 45 seconds here, Bob. But how do you define happiness?
So happiness for me is being strong, being able to withstand anything that comes my way. I've got a couple little conflicts that are happening in my family right now, in my extended family. And I don't let it get, it doesn't affect my happiness. I'm already grounded and secure and loving myself and loving my family and loving things around me, so it doesn't affect my internal state of being, my internal state of knowing that I'm whole and complete. That's happiness. But this fleeting happiness of what's going on around us, being affected by the external world, the ups and downs of the external world, isn't really happiness. So if you can get grounded and connected to yourself, knowing that all is well, the external world is chaos a lot of the time, but inside really all is well, and if I can come back to myself at any given moment, I am safe, I'm protected, I'm secure, I'm loved. And so that's happiness for me, knowing that I already am complete and loved.
Well, that's lovely. That's a great way to end today's show. And I appreciate you being with us, Bob Schmidt. The book is called The Practice. And I know listeners can find out more about you, Bob, at bobschmidt.com. And what's your other one? It's
peacefulmindpeacefullife.org. It's the nonprofit.
Okay. You can find out more about the great work you're doing there in recovery and peace. And you've just got so much going on. And I really appreciate you being with us today. Thanks so much.
Oh, sending you so much love, Vicki. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank each of you for joining us today. Appreciate you being with us. We are 9 years in our ninth year now, so we couldn't be here without you. And we do appreciate you tuning in every week. If you have feedback or comments or questions on today's show, you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net, info@conversationslive.net. You can also reach me on the 800 number at 495-7617, 800-495-7617. We're on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and you'll find me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair. Thanks so much for being with us today, and have a great rest of the week. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.